Welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. For today, we have on the show, I mean, what can I say? We have here the incredible, the amazing, the badass, the superstar, Ricard. Hey, man, how are you today?
Hi there. I'm very, very good. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Yeah, I mean what better way to have an incredible, badass day than to be chatting with someone as badass as you? You know what I mean?
Thanks for that introduction.
Absolutely.
Now I actually feel kind of badass, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the part I'm going to play right now.
There you go. I mean, let's find out why you are a total badass right now. And also, okay. Wanted to thank those who are, those who are either watching this or listening to this. Make sure to follow Ricard and also in all of his social media. I'm going to leave him in the description below. Let's make him viral. You know, hashtag Team Ricard, like right now. And without further ado, let's jump in. So, tell me, what drew you into acting in the first place? Like, was there like a specific moment or experience that made you realize, you know what, this is gonna be my thing?
Well, there was a moment in life where I was kind of looking for something else to do. I was I didn't have a 9-to-5 job, but I had a job that was not really challenging or inspiring at all, so I kept looking for something that would intrigue me. And honestly, I think fear would be the one thing that drew me into acting, mostly because at that time I feared being on stage. I wasn't really comfortable in my own body and in my voice, and being in front of people in general was, you know, a challenge that was just too grand to not take on. So and I'd also been acting a little bit as a child, mostly because my mom wanted me to, so I had a little flavor of it. So, and I had some success as a child actor. So I figured, why don't I try something that I've proven to be good at one point? Maybe I'm really good at it. And so yeah, the fear and the challenge of acting drew me into it. And then the whole perspective on acting changed after that when I learned what acting was about. But that's, I guess, a different topic. So,
And how you continue to challenge yourself and grow as an actor at the same time?
That's a really good one. I'm thinking about how I challenge myself on a day-to-day basis. I do these little things. Like the other day I had an audition, and I challenged myself to only do one take and submit that. And it worked. I actually got a call back. I didn't book the part, but that was just a little challenge that kind of changed the way I do things. But on a day-to-day basis, I don't really see it as a goal or a challenge. I see it as a grind, and I try to focus on doing the right thing for the day. And with determination, I think that will help me grow instead of setting all these grand goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, pushing my... If I was an A-list actor and I had 5 script in front of me, I would choose a more challenging part for sure. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, I'm not there yet. So yeah. I see it as a grind, and I keep trying to do the right thing in the grind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's important to have... I mean, what I ended up also discovering is to set up, like, daily goals, you know? Like basically mm-hmm. go one step at a time, you know, one day at a time, take it easy, you know, enjoy the ride. Because, yeah, I mean, sometimes we get like this idea, right, to go crazy, to go all out. And maybe for some people it works, but for some not. And for those who don't, it tend to be, you start to hate what you do. You know what I mean? Because you have, to not see it like, you start to not enjoy it, basically. You know what I mean? So
totally agree. I had a teacher once in acting school by the name of George Loros. I don't know if you know who he is. He's quite a standout acting teacher in New York, but he's also an actor from multiple shows. But he's older now. And he told me that, you know, as opposed to thinking too far ahead, try to do 5 things a day that would support and help your acting. And he gave a bunch of examples. And I try to live by that. Like, okay, today I'm going to send these emails, and I'm going to do these exercises, and I'm going to read this play, and I'm going to work out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to... So, yeah, to your point.
Yeah, there you go. Now, focusing a little bit on your whole, the whole character creation side, tell me, how do you approach getting into the whole mindset of a character? Do you have a, I don't know, like in a specific technique or ritual perhaps?
Getting into the mindset of the character. I'm trying to define mindset, but to me at least, it would be someone's maybe values or objectives or thoughts and ideas, maybe even moral and ethics. The first thing I'm doing is trying to align the character's morals and ethics and values and objectives and thoughts with my own. And for the most part, that's quite easy because most characters I play, although they're bad people or good people, I see something inside me that can lead me to think or do similar things. Mm. So once I've aligned those, I practice and rehearse those. If it's like a character that would do awful things, I don't know, rape or murder or, you know, I don't know, domestic abuse, you know, then I tend to go back to, you know, simple method acting experience and exercises and find parallel things that I have experienced in my life that I could use as a supplement to what the character is doing. So that is what I would do to go into the mindset of the character. I'm also trying to make it easy for myself by saying that character's mindset is now going to be my mindset. Mm-hmm. So that I feel like that I have some sort of ownership of the guy I'm playing. Otherwise, it can get so hard and you can put so much pressure on yourself to be exactly the way you think the character should be. If you just tell yourself that the character is going to be who I am, relieves a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole other thing that for some people might think, which is you're just learning your lines and you're good to go, you know? And I find amazing when an actor gets the chance to portray this character into a point that the audience really cares about it, you know, like actual care. And that if at some point something happens to that character, you know, let's say they get killed like Game of Thrones, you know, you get totally devastated, you know, you get totally devastated and you actually feel like real emotions to something that at the end of the day, it's made up. You know what I mean? I find that amazing when an actor gets the chance to send us to create that connection with us. And it's just amazing basically. So
definitely, I totally agree. I think the key word there that I try to tell myself is vulnerability. If although you're playing the bad or the good guy, you know, if you show some level of vulnerability, you know, like the Joker, you get attached to him, although he's the bad guy and the villain. And it also, you know, shines light on people that do bad actions. And when they go, you get emotional. And I think Game of Thrones is the best example. Every episode, there's someone you've been watching for weeks and months, and then all of a sudden they go. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and they go in the most brutal way possible. That's even worse. So
yeah, killed by their baby brother or their wife. Or,
yeah, something like that. Yeah. You're like, what the hell? Yeah, I mean that. I remember that show ended up it broke me at some point. That I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna care about anyone at this point. Whatever happens, happens. I'm done. Because every time I was like, you know what? I like this character. Killed. I like this one. Killed. I was like, this is not good. So yeah. Anyway, now tell me, is there like a particular genre or type of character that you haven't portrayed yet, but you would love to explore? Yeah, to explore that in the future.
Yeah, that's a good segue because honestly, fantasy and fiction is a genre I've never been involved in, and it's something I enjoy watching, and not only because of story and acting, but also for visuals or for the environment that they sometimes shoot these movies and shows in. And I'm also a big lover of the outdoors. I you know, it would be a dream for me to be in like a Game of Thrones, to be on a horseback for weeks to end, somewhere in New Zealand or wherever in Northern Ireland. But I'm sure I'll be disappointed if I ever get there, because a lot of it is with the green screen, I'm sure. But that type of those type of like big production, you know, fantasy Western, that would be a genre that I would be very intrigued to do. Characters. When I watch movies, I tend to enjoy movies about minorities. You know, fighting upwards, climbing mountains. But since I'm a white male, maybe if I could play, I would like to play someone maybe with disabilities or, you know, mental disorder. That would intrigue me.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, tell their stories. So did you see the movie The Whale?
Yeah, with Brendan Fraser.
I think he won the Oscar.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I watched it, but it broke me. You know what I mean? So it was amazing, but
I don't know if it broke me. For me, it told the story of how it is to be obese, and I thought that was beautiful. I think he did a great job, and I hope I think a lot of people have a better understanding for how it is to lead a life like that.
Yeah, and also what got my attention about, you know, Brendan Fraser is that he was like out for what, like 10 years, almost 12 years, something like that, right? I mean, he basically was gone, and then it's amazing that he comes back, makes a film, wins an Oscar, boom.
You know what
I mean? So I think that is also like my point here is that also shows show you that it take your time, you know, enjoy the ride, enjoy the whole time, you know, learn, be better each day, you know, and one day it's going to be your time at some point if you're still, you know, if you're still like to it. I saw this interview once with I forgot his name. Cool. Anyway, he said that basically at some point he says, if you quit, you're not going to make it. But if you don't quit, you might make it, you know, and something so simple as something so simple like that, it totally makes sense, you know.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. It's again back to the grind, just you know, trying to do the best you can every day, and hopefully you'll have more commercial success later down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for example, take this guy Ian McKellen. He played Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. I mean, before that, nobody knew. You know, like worldwide, nobody knew who he was. And then at his 40, 50, something like that, he becomes Gandalf. And now everyone knows him, you know, and then Magneto for the X-Men, you know, things like that. So I think that is like kind of the cool thing here that you stay true. Yeah, stay true with it. And at some point, your time will come. So,
he's a good example in that. For myself, I've been doing mostly theater lately. Not only because of the strike, but because I'm in New York and training has been more theatrical, but I'm also, you know, I want to get into movies and TV and film. But I think, Ian McKellen, I think, you know, for a long time he did mostly theater. He's a very, very famous Shakespearean actor in London, and all of a sudden he blew up, and I mean, he's quite an extraordinary actor, I have to say. The Gandalf role is probably my favorite part or character in that show or in them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell me, have you ever had like a role that made a significant impact on you personally? And if it did, how did it affect you at some point?
Most things that I read, or for every character that I prepare, I get very affected. I feel a lot of empathy for any play that I would read or any movie that I would watch. While I'm actually doing the work, maybe not so much actually. And it might sound crazy because I usually get cast as all these nutheads, these assholes. And in my mind, I'm thinking about this scene I did. I'm strangling my girlfriend. It's about domestic violence. And I remember doing it, and I was more concerned with doing the task at hand. All the things, blockings and lines and I remember after we cut, I remember my scene partner got very affected by the drama, and people in the crew were like, it was a silent moment of devastation for all these people that have to live through this. And that shocked me a little bit because I was just so focusing on doing the scene. But after I watched it myself, the very same scene, then it affects me. Do you see my point? I'm trying to focus so much on what to do and do the scene that I kind of not forget about the circumstances, obviously, but try to like not think about them too much, because it would drive me crazy, Dan, for all this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I played my last five roles have been like murderers and rapists and necrophiliac and so yeah, of course these characters affect me, but I have to be careful. But and also teach, because I went to a method acting school, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much talk about how method actors can get damaged, and they then they get home, and Danny Day-Lewis is the best example. But my teachers would always like encourage us to not believe in that, and to work on being able to do the work and then not do the work, do your character. And one of my teachers knew Danny Day-Lewis, and it's like, that's all bullshit. He just, after shooting all these monsters, or let's say Lincoln, and he would just, check out of work and then go get his kids, pick up his kids in school and be a normal dad. It's just, and that's important for me too, not to like, play a character and then live it the same night and be all worked up. I try to be professional.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a job. So, so it's understandable for you to take your boundaries and be like, for this moment to this moment, when I'm at work, and then once it's done, I'll go home and just return to be me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't get affected by all these crazy people that I do, because
yeah, that would be crazy.
It's not gonna make me less crazy. I am who I am, and I'm never gonna lay my hands on physically on anyone, and but yeah, I don't know if that was a good answer or not, Dan.
No,
but...
yeah, absolutely, because yeah, it does. And I start like to think about that, that I think we all do that, that. For example, so basically actors, whenever they are on set or they are on theater, they will play somebody else, and then at the end of the day, they will return to their homes to be the real themselves, right? And if you think about it, it's like something all of us do, if we have like office jobs or we have like other type of jobs. I mean, when we go to work, it's basically we will pretend to be somebody else at some point,
You play your professional part.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's only when you get home and when you are surrounded with your friends or family, then that the real you comes, and then you're like, okay, this is cool. But when you are in a professional environment, let's say, it's obvious that you need to, be somebody else. And on acting, I mean, you will play somebody else. So, you know what I mean? So it does kind
no,
of
no, definitely.
It does make sense.
So just to refine my answer, yeah, I learn a lot from every character that I do. I learn a lot from every play that I watch, or every maybe even song that I hear. But
totally.
Get affected, probably not.
Yeah, yeah. Now, tell me, how do you handle the pressure and expectations that come when you are about to play a certain character?
So pressure I experience from other people and myself. from other people, I don't mind it at all. I relish it. I enjoy it. Very few times have I had a director who's been like, you need to do this better, you need to do this differently, you're not doing it well. But when that happens, it's a kick in the butt, and I truly enjoy that. Because to be honest, most of the people that I've been involved with here in New York are very nice and politically correct and positive, and so I can enjoy a bit of extra pressure. The pressure on myself is a different story. So when I have an audition, when I have a scene for an audition, I tend to, once I'm starting to get familiar with it, I tend to have all these grand ideas of how perfect I am for the part, how well I'm going to do it, and how successful that's going to be. And I get really excited with all the nuances that I see in the script and how that matches up with me. But then, when you go to the audition, you know, very few times did it come out the way I was planning or hoping. And the same thing with a self-tape. I watch it and I think that's not, it didn't have all the nuances that I was, you know, early thinking about, and it wasn't as good as I thought. So I learned how to kind of not put all that pressure on myself, because I know it's never going to be as good and as perfect as I was being. So that is, I think, also the same with performances, or when you perform on stage. Very few times did I get off stage and felt, oh, I hit everything right there, and that was a slam dunk. So I'm just trying not to put too much pressure on myself. The more pressure is back to the grind we talked about. Let's make sure to do the right things every day to progress my acting. So that type of positive pressure I'm more focused on.
Okay. Now, let's say, you know what, that one day I call you and I tell you that I want to become an actor. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I have zero experience. So based on what you know and what you've been through, what do you think it would be a good place for me to start?
A good place for you to start would be to download a couple of scripts, watch a couple of movies or plays that you haven't seen, and see if you can find a character that you feel that you can relate to.
Okay.
Google or find a scene with that character, so you have the words that he or she is saying, and rehearse those, and do it into a monologue and tape it and watch yourself and think about if it's clear what you're saying, is also what the character, if it services the story. And then eventually, you know, find a friend who wants to be a photographer or a cinematographer and shoot a short film. And once you've done that, you should know if this is what you want to do or don't want to do. And from there on, it's getting, doing all the right thing, into the grind, getting your reel updated, shooting your headshots, trying to find an agent, you know, submit yourself to projects, try to network with casting. But that is pretty much how I started. I did all that, like that little first section there with finding a character and a monologue and a short film. I did that before acting school, and it gave me a hint that, you know, let's keep pursuing this and then we'll see.
All right. I'll tell you what, if I ever become an actor and I win an Oscar at some point, I'll be mentioning you in my thank you speech for sure.
Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, I will even cut it in half so you can have half of it, you know? I
mean, it's okay.
It's the least I can do, right? All right. I love that. Now, tell me, like, what is like the most important lesson you have learned throughout your acting career so far?
Oh, how to be rejected.
Okay.
and
Yeah.
deal with disappointment. I mean, for sure. That is, I wouldn't say my life was a picnic before acting, but it was a smoother ride. I've learned so many things just those years in acting school and learning about, reading all these plays and understanding, family dynamics and psychology, learning everything about myself and who am I and why am I this way and why do I react these way. I mean, these are very valuable lessons, all of them. But as a working or as a starting actor in a tough environment like New York, definitely getting rejected and how to deal with that. Because, you see kids when you're supposed to go to the playground and then something happens and you don't, and they get so disappointed, they don't know how to deal with disappointment. But for me, that's my A game now. I know how to deal with rejection.
There you go. That's amazing. I mean, at the end, nobody likes being rejected, right? But yeah, I mean, I can understand that it takes time for you to kind of understand how the whole thing goes. So cool.
Yeah, try to turn it into a positive. Like, yeah, I got rejected. But even worse part is when you get the times when you get a call back, you're moving further down down the casting process, you get more and more expectations. And getting rejected later is like, because although you're not supposed to, but you're building all these hopes and expectations and disappointment even more. So dealing with those is even tougher. But turning that into a positive, I guess it's the way to go. And like at least these people have now seen me, and on to the next. I have to get rejected X number of times before I'll book the part. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now, what do you think? It's the biggest misconception that people have about actors.
Honestly, it's very cruel to say it, but I think I hear a lot of people not thinking actors are artists.
Okay.
Yeah. And the person I love the most in the world, my mom, I've heard her say it, and it broke me. But I took it as my mission to explain it to her. So she was at a dinner with one of the most famous actresses in Sweden, and she was like, acting is not an art form. And so this very profound actress, she's like the Meryl Streep of Sweden.
Okay.
Oh, what are you saying? Why would you even became this whole thing? So I took it to try to explain to her how the process for an actor looks, and how it's very similar to an author or to a writer or a painter or all the other art forms. But I also understand why people would think that, because a lot of acting that people see is can look somewhat robotic. They see a lot of actors on doing commercials on TV. And, there's this, and then there's this high, and then it's deliver the line. And then, these are the benefits with this and that. That might be acting. And that is, for many people, the acting that they get exposed to. And also some dramatic acting can be robotic too, depending on how people, how directors work. But real acting, that's something else. So sometimes people will say, okay, that's really cool. I'm so fascinated how he or she can remember all those lines. Thinking it's learning the lines job and hitting your marks job. I don't know. But it's okay. Like, whatever, if they can think so, if they want to. My mom is now convinced that it's an art form. I've taken her through the process. And I don't worry too much about it, but I think that's a common misconception still.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That is the first thing. Okay. I mean, what I'm trying to say here is that usually when I ask this question, they will tell me that for some, that they think actors are like supreme beings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That people sometimes think that actors are like way like this capricious type of people, you know? So your answer is like totally a new one here. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. I love that. Because I mean, at the end of the day, you're making a commercial. Yeah, it's not Shakespeare, of course. But,
no,
you know, it's also a way of expression. It's art. You are playing some, I mean, at the end, like, I mean, I would assume, right, that the what's important is the core behind it, right? I mean, yeah, it's a commercial, but it's acting what you're doing right now. So, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of it. I'm sure there are ads where actors are allowed to do their job and apply their art, for sure. I'm sure there's a lot. There are a lot where they're not, where they're asked to, you know, smile and deliver a line.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I don't mean to be controversial here, but I think that's a common misconception. And also thinking actors are, you know, larger than life type people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was that's correct, but not so much anymore. I think everybody knows how artists are, artists of the mass, how they're struggling, and how only a few, you know, makes a lot of money and has a lot of fame. And so now in my day-to-day life, I feel like I get a lot of understanding and respect for doing this.
Yeah.
Very few would see it as I'm some kind of diva, or see it as some kind of a goal to be a diva or a celebrity or an arrogant larger than life type person.
Mm-hmm.
My experience.
Yeah. Okay. Now, moving on here a little bit, tell me, if your life were a sitcom, what would be the title, and who would you like to play the fictional version of yourself?
Who would I like to play what? The fictional version of myself?
Mm-hmm. And what would be the title of your life being a sitcom?
Okay. Maybe because I'm single, maybe it'd be something like a non-modern family, or not a modern family.
Okay.
I don't know, Dan. Can I call a friend? Can I call Dan for help? And who would I want to play in a sitcom? I would. So the question was the fictional version of myself. Who would that
mm-hmm.
be?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it would definitely be some kind of pothead, like Jeff Bridges' character in Big Lebowski. Have you seen it? He goes by the name the Dude, and I would definitely try to be some kind of a slacker and just
okay.
Because a sitcom is meant to be funny, is it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm funny when I'm kind of lazy, you know, just a couch surfer, really.
Sounds good.
And then that's the best I can come up with right now. Excuse me.
All right. Well, you better get ready for this next one, because.
Which one?
What would be the title of a film in which all of the characters you have played at the moment, they are going to gather to celebrate your birthday?
yeah, I saw that question. I put down an example or an answer here. A birthday party full of assholes and intellectuals.
Okay.
Because that's the funny part about me, Dan. I play all these, I tend to get cast as like an addict or all these rapist murderers. But I also have, I guess, an intellectual side to me. Yeah. So oftentimes am I some kind of academic or a journalist or an author, and So that would be the drama of the movie, that you know, there are some really put together people, together with some really you know, deplorable people. So, and how they would interact, I don't know. Could be a good movie.
Well, let's find out at some point, you know, who knows?
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Now tell me, if you could describe, like, how could you describe your career on a drink? Like, how would you call it and what would it have?
So I had a career before this, before acting, which was very different. So the meal would be surf and turf.
Okay.
Because it's pretty genius, actually, because my career before this was kind of straightforward.
Okay.
You know, I had my job, I had my apartment, I had my paycheck, and my hobbies. I lived for the weekends or for the holidays, and it was just cruising through life. So that would be the surf part. And then acting was kind of hitting the turf, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty hard. Yeah. A drink, Manhattan Sour.
Okay. Sounds interesting. I'll take
it. I don't know if it exists, but yeah, I'm in New York, and I'm you know, doing the best I can. I spend most days by myself, you know, just trying to push my acting game forward. So it's a bit sour every now and then.
Yeah,
and we talk about all the rejections and all, yeah, you know, all of that. So that's pretty much sours. But it's also a good drink. Manhattan's a good drink. And sometimes you book a part and you're in a play with amazing people, with, you know, good characters. And sometimes you book a part, you have to travel, and you have this amazing time. So the drink is still good, although it can be sour.
Okay, I'll take that. Now, Okay. Tell me, what can we expect from you in the future?
You can expect me to do my best. You can expect me to stay committed to the work, and always strive to deliver truthful acting.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will lead to meaningful acting and stories that are good, because I always want to service the story. And if the story ends up good, a lot of people hopefully get to see it.
Mm.
And if a lot of people sees it, it means it does something to people. And, you know, it's meaningful to them. Whether it's entertaining or just, you know, getting out of their heads, or for a laugh or for a scare, or you know, whatever purpose people have to indulge in arts and watch movies or plays. So that's what they can expect.
There you go. I love it. And now my last question here is,
mm-hmm.
what do you think that could be the title for the episode we just did right now? Like, how would you call it?
An actor, committed to the work. Sounds pretentious. Dan and Ricard talking about what's important in acting. I don't know. It's so hard, Dan. What is it that we just did? We're talking about me We're talking about you. We're talking about my view on acting. But we're talking about the parts that I've been playing and how they relate to me and how they affect me.
Yeah.
So Ricard's relationship to his characters and how they affect and how they don't affect him.
What about, check this out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I got, you know, I got, so, all right. So it would be simple, a guy in New York.
Short, snappy.
You know what I mean?
It works. It works. Yeah, I like it.
Or.
But there's so many guys in New York, though.
Oh, then I got problem solved. Then it would be. It would be. Okay, yeah. I got it. It would be Sweden time in New York.
A sweet time in New York?
Yeah, or Sweden. You know, Sweden time in New York as well.
A sweet and sour time in New York?
There you go.
A Swede's sweet and sour time in New York.
Yeah. And not anymore.
It could be called many things. I mean, but I like that. That's the best one yet.
Or the epic adventures of Ricard.
Yeah. The epic and non-epic, meaning the grind, meaning the everyday, do the work, being by yourself. Excuse me. Doing my method acting exercises by myself in the dark. So there's something epic about the life that I'm living and something very non-epic about it.
All right, so what about the... What about I got this. I don't know, but no pain, no gain with Ricard. I don't know. You know?
That's a good one.
You know, let's get.
I love that one.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain with Ricard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan, that's definitely the best one yet.
Okay, because that's gonna be the title for this episode. So.
Okay.
You know, I think it would be cool. Yeah, it sounds interesting. Yeah. Let's leave it like that. No pain, no gain with Ricard. Got it.
I love it.
I mean, at the end, what can I say, man? I mean, the fact that you're pursuing what you love, the fact that you're killing it, the fact that you're making it happen. Yes, it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult.
It has to be hard. You otherwise,
Yeah, but you know what? Like, what is not? You know, I do have discovered that the thing that you or the things that you care the most or that you love the most tend to be the most difficult pain in the butt experiences sometimes. But the fact that you're still solid to it, you're making it happen. I mean, it's inevitable that at some point we're going to talk about the multiple projects you've been here and there. Because I do think that great things happen to those who are honest by heart at some point. You know, might not happen today, might not happen in 2 years, but who knows? Maybe 3, 4, 5 years might happen. But keep doing what you do. Keep killing it. I do want to thank also those who watch this. As I said at the beginning, on the description below, you're going to find all of Ricard's social media. Now we find out why he is a total badass. So let's follow him. Let's make it viral. And again, man, thank you so much. Keep killing it. Keep rocking. And I'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for having me.
All right.